shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendrick.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
To come down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight, but I'm on the Phil Hendrick Show, of course, and we're going to be talking about something that we feel is very, very important, and we would like to hear from people.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And, you know, that is the commercial for the show. That's the commercial for your restaurant, Ted, that we're going to be talking about tonight. And, of course, you're going to want to use that to promote the restaurant, but...
Well, I thought that tonight, because we're going to be talking about... We're going to be talking about my business, is what we're going to be talking about. And when it comes to my business, I think you're the same way, Phil. And you can put that on table three. And look, I'm going to move out of the... I'm standing right here near the kitchen.
You're at the restaurant now.
Yes, I am. Hold on. When you talk about my business, I think, Phil, when you talk about anybody's business, I think what you're doing... is you are getting into an area that is very, very sensitive, and I think you need to know what it is you're talking about, and I think you've got to tread very, very lightly. When you talk about a man's business, it's like you're talking about his family. And when you presume to give a man advice about his business, then I think you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be in the middle of. And that's where we find ourselves today. And I don't know if you still have that list.
All right. We're talking to Ted Bell here, folks. And I'm sorry that we got out in front of this thing a little bit too fast. I have a list of... there were three. These are all men who head up different congregations in Southern California. Tyler Cushing of La Mirada Assembly. William Runton of First Christian in Monrovia. The Bible Study Center in Diamond Bar.
Are these all the only individuals that have been complaining about this?
There are them, and there have been people that have been calling. And so that's why I said when I talked to you earlier, I said, well, look, why don't we go on the air and talk about this, and you can air your grievances.
Well, I don't have the grievances, Phil. The problem is these people have grievances. That's the problem. And the problem is that these are people that are looking... to tell me what to do with a business that I worked very, very hard on. Now, I've been on your program many times. As you know, I sponsor a full hour of the Phil Hendrick Show, and I think that the listeners out there can appreciate that. And I'm not about to change the way I do business because, you know, these guys... And other people who may or may not come to my restaurant, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a religious man yourself?
I don't think I need to answer that question.
Well, all right. I mean, were you raised Christian?
I don't think I need to answer that question. I think when you ask that question, you're trying to qualify me. And
no, I just thought I'd see what kind of commonality there might be. You know.
Well, what about you? Were you raised Christian?
I was raised Catholic.
All right. Do you still go to... I think you said you still go to Catholic Mass occasionally?
Occasionally, yeah. I wouldn't call myself an overly religious guy, but I suppose I try to keep a sense of God in my life as much as I can.
All right. So in other words, Phil, and I don't mean any disrespect, but what you just gave me there is the typical media personality sort of, get lost answer.
No, it's not get lost.
Well, yeah, it is, because, I try to keep God in my life. You don't want me to ask any questions, but you want to ask me.
Well, look, Ted, it's your restaurant that we're talking... And let me get everybody squared away on what we're talking about. We've had, over the course of time, on this radio show, since Ted has been a sponsor, and since he's been coming on and sponsoring this hour, we have had, from time to time, people who have been... outspokenly critical of Ted's commercial jingle, and more to the point, the commercial slogan that he uses for his restaurant, which is, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." Now, you understand, Ted, as we've talked many times, that people perceive that to be obscene or not family friendly.
No, I absolutely understand that. Yes,
and you have said time and again that it's not.
It is Absolutely not. It is a advertising slogan that we went out and we contracted with an advertising agency in New York, and we wanted to come up with a slogan for our restaurant that was as direct as something, for instance, McDonald's used for many, many years, which is come to the Golden Arches, you never had it so good. Or if you used the Burger King slogan for many years, have it your way. Those two slogans really spelled it out for the customer. Have it your way. You come to Burger King, you have the hamburger the way you want it. You never had it so good if you come to McDonald's, and if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And what we're talking about is the best steak that you're ever going to eat in your life. Now, for me to fold under pressure from individuals who immediately want to read something filthy into that.
Do you understand how it can be seen that way?
I understand it will be seen that way by people who think that way.
And all right, Ted, let me interrupt. Do you understand that the people who have come in contact with us criticizing that, some of them are these men that I mentioned. These are ministers, preachers.
No, I understand that. And I don't want to be disrespectful, but if I have to be, I'm going to be. And I'm going to repeat what I just said. It is seen as obscene by people that think in obscene ways.
So you were saying that Dr. Cushing, Dr. Runton, Dr. Pethering...
By the way, excuse me, what are they doctors of?
These are men who are doctors of theology.
All right, and what was your question?
Are you saying that those men think in obscene ways?
Absolutely. Yes, I am.
And that those men, when they hear that, can only think of one thing?
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes. See, Phil, and I want to appeal to your listeners. The best way that I know how is to just say this directly. This is my business. I worked very hard to get this business to where it is today. And if I want to put a slogan on a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and it's going to be seen by customers all over Southern California and all over the Bay Area and all over Washington, D.C., wherever we have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Right now, we've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in the East Bay, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Miami, and here in Southern California. And we had the restaurant in Hawaii, and we're retooling the restaurant in Honolulu, but we've got those four. And I'm telling you, and I'm telling your audience, that advertising slogan is going to be seen on billboards wherever we have a restaurant. It'll be heard on radio commercials, and I'm not changing anything. So I still don't understand what it is we're talking about.
We've had people who want you to explain why that slogan.
Because we paid for it, because an advertising agency came up with it, because I like it, because it advertises the restaurant very well.
Okay, so when and this is just Ted, I'm a friend of yours, okay?
No, I understand it.
When someone says to me, as Dr. Cushing did, that it came to his attention when he was driving down the 605 and he saw a billboard, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and he's driving with two of his kids.
No, I understand.
All right, you understand then with someone driving with their kids.
Well, if that man was driving with his kids, then he should have said to those kids, "Oh, kids, that doesn't mean anything." If the children reacted to it in a dirty way, I don't know what happened in the car. Yeah, did the kids go, "Ooh, Daddy, that's dirty," or did he, or what happened? But he could say to them, "Well, that's about a restaurant that serves steak." You know.
Well, he said that he came home and put the phone call into us. And
no, but what I'm asking you is this: when he saw the billboard, did his children react to it?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't know. And let me I'll give you the answer. And I wasn't even in the car. No, they didn't.
Well, come on. Ted, you know as well as I do the kids are going to react to things.
No, I understand that they will, but they're not going to react to that. Why would they react to that?
Why would they react to that? We live in a day and age, Ted, of South Park, of The Simpsons, double entendre.
That is not double entendre. And that's what I resent more than anything else. It's not double entendre. I mean it exactly as I say it, we got great steak. We want to put it in your mouth. Where do you eat your food? In your mouth. Where do you chew it? With your teeth. I'm not going to be bullied, Phil, by your religious friends or whoever they are.
They're not friends of mine. These are people who just called the show.
Yeah, well, all right. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be bullied by people because they have filth between their ears, and they want to, you know, affect my business. I find this to be very, very, I think this is very evil, if you want my honest opinion, because here I am with a business that I've spent a lot of hours building up, and down the 605 drives some guy with a turned-around collar, and he sees this billboard, and he immediately goes home and makes a call to you, and now he's going to get himself, he's going to become an advocate for some kind of family-oriented thing. I don't like it, and you can hear my throat.
Do you have a cold?
I'm suffering with a cold, yeah.
All right, you want to take a break?
I would appreciate that, yeah.
All right, Ted Bell is with us here on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking about the slogan to his restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's been an advertiser of ours for a long time. Can we play that again, bud? Just listen to this.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse.
Well, you know what? In any event, we're going to be playing this coming out of the stop set, but the slogan here at the end of this commercial has got the attention of a number of people in the religious community. They want to change. Ted says he won't.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show will be right back, and PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. And we are very proud of our business, and we hope you bring your family in and enjoy a great meal at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Sing it.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And that's what we mean, Phil.
All right, joining us is Ted Bell. He is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a very, very well-known steakhouse here in Southern California. In Northern California, in Washington, D.C., they have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. Actually, is it in Georgetown or the Capitol Hill District?
The Capitol, yeah, what they call the Capital City District.
Okay, and then South Beach.
South Beach, Miami, and we have, we're retooling, and we are reopening our Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu early 2013.
Ted's at Beverly Hills Honolulu. I don't know, man. I want to go to that one.
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And
where are you?
We're Waikiki, right near Waikiki, right near the Royal Hawaiian. And I'll tell you something, Phil.
I just love the idea of a Ted's at Beverly Hills in Honolulu. You know.
Well, we wanted to call it. Somebody want to go to Ted's at Beverly Hills Hawaii? No. I like the very classic sound of Honolulu. And let's face it, at one time and still, I think Honolulu was. Not just the capital of Hawaii and certainly a tourist destination. It was in its own way an entertainment capital. And so we want to bring a little bit of that back to Honolulu.
All right. Well, what we're talking about here, folks, if you're just joining us, Ted has an advertising slogan that you just heard. We want to put our meat in your mouth. And we've gotten complaints over the years that we have very, very much, very strenuously defended you, Ted. What happened was, though, we got Pastor Cushing and a few of these members of the religious community here in Los Angeles, as well as elsewhere within the sound of our radio show, within reach of our radio show. And the fact that you have, like so many businesses, I think In-N-Out has a truck that goes out, right?
Yeah, well, we've got, we take out the Ted Lunch, which we call the Ted Lunch Wagon, and we want to put our meat in your mouth, emblazoned on the side. That is the slogan. And I don't know a company that's involved in the food delivery or restaurant business that doesn't go out when they are taking one of their promotional vehicles out, whether it's Murray Lender with his bagels, and I know Murray, and he's a wonderful guy. But you got the name of his business right there on the side, and we do as well. The fact that we're going to Wanton High School, which I understand is a private Christian high school, but we were invited there by the senior class, and we're going to serve lunch to some 120 senior students. And I don't know that the so-called administration there has the right to keep my business from doing business.
Well, here, this is, if you're a parent, and I know you are a parent, that's not a very difficult thing to figure out. The school is ultimately in charge of who or what comes on their campus.
Well, I don't know what you mean by what, but...
Well, you know what I mean. They're.
I understand that they are there to protect the kids, absolutely.
Of course, they're not only there to protect the kids, they are the surrogate parents while the kids are there. They are there to see that the children are safe. They're there to make sure that the kids are educated.
I understand it, Phil, and what you're getting at, if I may, you're getting at what you think is me coming on campus with our lunch truck and with the slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." You're saying that I'm somehow violating the safety of those kids.
Well, no, not the safety, no.
Well, then what are we doing wrong?
You're going onto the campus with a advertising slogan that perhaps the teachers, the administration, and the parents would rather you not have on that truck.
Well, they're not telling me what to do.
Now, I understand that. But they can certainly tell you whether you can come on that campus or not.
I don't think so.
Why would you say that, Ted? The
senior class invited me. And the...
Well, yes, the senior class invited you. These are all underage kids.
Well, they are the senior class. They invited us. They want us there for... I think they're having a senior class lunch that will be ahead of a weekend. They're going to have a basketball weekend, and they're going to have a formal. And we're going to serve lunch. And
why would you go onto that campus even if you're told not to?
Who am I told not to by?
If you're told not to by the administration there.
If we're told not to by the administration, then I would ask them why, and they would say, because we want to put your meat in our mouth. Is that it?
Well, I don't. That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying. Are they going to say that to me? Are they going to have the guts to say to me, "We don't want you on our campus because the advertising slogan on the side of your truck says we want to put our meat in your mouth"? Are they going to say that to me?
I think what they're going to say to you is the following: it's not a family-friendly slogan.
Okay, right there is a lawsuit. Right there. I'm glad you said that. And I was waiting for you to say it because I wasn't going to say it. But right there is a lawsuit. And the lawsuit is the following thing. It is them saying that my business is not family-friendly, which is an absolute insult, which is beyond an insult. It is a slander. And if they publish that on the air, if I hear any one of them come on your radio show and say that, then it's libel.
Ted, I'm telling you what they said to me.
Right, and I wanted you to tell me that because, I understand they got an opinion. But the minute they say that themselves, and I want them to say that, I want to see if they got the guts to say that I don't run a family-friendly business.
Do you understand? Can I ask you a question?
Well, you're gonna ask me the same question you've been asking me, Phil.
No. I'm just going to... maybe I didn't ask it clear enough. Do you understand the concern of some people when they say... Because I've said it to you over the years. I've said to you, gee, what's with that slogan? Have you ever gotten any trouble for it?
Well, I know you have, and I have cleared it up time and again with you. And so you're going to ask me, do I understand parents and teachers having a problem with, "We want to put our meat in your mouth"? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Do I understand them having a problem with it? If they have a sewer in place of a mind. Yes, I understand that.
All right, so anyone that says to you, whether they're a parent or whether they're a religious leader, your slogan is not family-friendly, they have, instead of a mind, a sewer.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. You see, Phil, what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to back down, and this has got nothing to do with religion. They could be anybody. I'm not backing down in the face of hypocrites, bigots, people with prejudice, and people that would rather think filthy thoughts than let a man run his business. I'm not backing down. Ted Bell.
Okay, great. We'll be right back here. So there's Ted Bell. The slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," has now become a controversy at least a couple of the schools where they want to send their lunch wagon. Is it family friendly? "We want to put our meat in your mouth" is the name of this, is the slogan that a New York advertising agency came up with for Ted's of Beverly Hills. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Never.
Famous Bill Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we are very, very anxious to have you in our restaurant. We don't want anybody to be uncomfortable in our restaurant. We like to say we want to put our meat in your mouth because we mean our steak. We don't mean anything.
All right, hold on.
But we don't mean anything other than that.
All right, hold on. Ted, you have a couple of advertisements. We're talking with Ted Bell about the about his restaurant's advertising slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," which is come under attack. It's on billboards in Southern California and elsewhere where Ted's restaurants are.
I had a phone call from somebody in Virginia Falls, Virginia, who had been in Washington, D.C. and had seen our restaurant. And I said, "It's nice to meet you." And yeah, I thought it was a courtesy call. And this was an individual who had gone to the capital city and said, "Well, he saw the billboard. We want to put our meat in your mouth." And he said he considered it to be an affront. And I said to him, "Sir, let me ask you a question." This guy was a businessman from Virginia Falls, and he said, "Go ahead." I said, "What is the Girl Scout slogan?" I said, "The Girl Scouts are you familiar with the Girl Scout?" The cookie that they sell, or I don't know how they, you know, how often they do that, Phil?
Yeah, Girl Scout cookies.
Right, Girl Scout cookies. They do that every what?
I don't know. I think it's in the winter. It might be in the wintertime.
All right, and I said to the gentleman, "Are you familiar with the Girl Scout?" And he said, "Of course I am." I said, "Okay, everybody is." I said, "Do you know what their slogan is?" And he said, "No." I said, "It's do a good turn daily." I said, "You know, for me, I don't care. But they have been allowed to get away with that for years." And he sort of stopped, and he said, "Well, are you referring to," and we talked about it. I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I can understand that." He said, "But that is a little more subtle than we want to put our meat in your mouth." I said, "Well, you know what, then you're just prejudiced against a businessman, and you're prejudiced in favor of a bunch of little girls." And I said, "And quite frankly, I find that very suspicious." And I hung the phone up on him because he wanted to give these kids the benefit of the doubt on do a good turn. And
all right, well, you're losing me because I don't know what's wrong with do a good turn daily.
I don't know what to say to you.
Well, you're going to have to say something because I think my audience is lost and I am too.
Well, if your audience is lost, you are, then let me say this. What do you do every day? Nature's calling.
Okay, I know what you mean. I mean...
Yeah, a turn.
Oh, come on, Ted.
No, I'm not. Come on, Ted. I'm telling you that the Girl Scout slogan can be interpreted to say, sit down and take a crap once a day.
And do you honestly believe that that's what they...
No, excuse me. I didn't come on your program to get yelled at. Right.
I'm sorry, Ted, but do you honestly believe that that's what the Girl Scouts of America...
I don't know, but that's what can be interpreted, and that's what I try to say to this gentleman. And he said, "Well, I don't see that," and I said, "But yeah, that's because I think you sticking up for Girl Scouts is very, I think that is it. Somebody ought to look into that," is what I said to him, and I hung the phone up.
So in other words, this man, I just want to be clear on what happened on the phone conversation.
All right.
The man called up and said that, "I don't like your, we want to put our meat in your mouth slogan." And you said, "Well, what about the Girl Scouts do a good turn daily," which you think means a bowel movement, I guess.
Yes.
And the man said that he didn't see it and he stuck up for the Girl Scouts. And you took that to mean he's a pedophile.
I said I was very suspicious and I hung up on him, yeah. Now, Phil, you know, there are countless examples of this. The Skittles example, which is Taste the Rainbow. Some people...
What is it again?
It's Taste the Rainbow.
Okay.
Some people are extremely uncomfortable with that. I am. I'm very uncomfortable with it because I believe it has adult overtones.
What adult overtone?
Again, you are forcing me into articulating these things that I personally don't want to articulate because I don't necessarily think there is anything wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with Do a Good Turn Daily. I just told this man that's what you could interpret that to mean.
I just don't see the Girl Scouts.
Well, hold the phone here, Phil. I've got a slogan that says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't mean anything dirty by that. I mean we want you to taste our steak. The Girl Scouts have a slogan, Do a Good Turn Daily. I don't think there's anything dirty about it, but there's some animal out there that's going to take that to mean, oh, the Girl Scouts are reminding you to sit on the toilet once a day.
Well, if there is somebody out there that is taking that meaning from that...
You would think that they're sick, right?
I would.
Okay, why don't you give me the benefit of the doubt and say, if somebody takes my slogan, which is we want to put our meat in your mouth, and they take that to mean something dirty, that you think they're sick. You want to know why, Phil? Because you want to see a businessman like me run into the ground until there's nothing left.
And no, that is not. That is absolute and utter horse dung.
Well, then why don't you stick up for me instead of sticking up for all of your Obama friends? And
whoa, hold on for a minute, man. If this is all of a sudden a political thing.
Absolutely a political thing. You better believe it. A man just won the election in Florida tonight. A guy that's going to, I think, bring this country back, Mitt Romney. I don't think Mitt Romney, as he's a Mormon, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. Even though he's a Mormon, I don't think he would ever say to me, I don't like your, you know, the meat in your mouth slogan. I don't know what he would say about whether, you know, he would eat at my restaurant, but I don't think he'd ever take my right away from me to do that. And the same thing goes with Skittles.
And this whole Skittles thing is very strange with you saying that it is a...
What is strange about it?
Well, you say that, come taste the rainbow, is that it?
That is exactly right.
And you think that's what?
I think it's extremely adult.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I'm going to go over here to Ronnie in San Antonio. Ronnie, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing?
Good.
Listen, I want to ask this gentleman, your name is Ted, right?
Ted Bell, yes, sir.
All right, well, I don't know your restaurant. I haven't eaten at your restaurant. I don't probably plan on eating at your restaurant because we don't have, I don't know if you've got a Ted's of Beverly Hills in San Antonio or not, but we do not. All right, well, if I was driving down the road and I saw a billboard that said, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I had my wife, and I've got two little girls in my family, and I saw that on the billboard, it would upset me. And I would definitely want to do something about getting that taken down. It doesn't mean what you think it means. Well, it doesn't matter if it doesn't mean what I think it means. It means, I think, in the mind of everyone, what it means. And I would have to explain that to not only my wife, I'd have to explain it to my daughters.
Wait, would you, you would...
I want to find out. You would explain this to, how old are your daughters? Well, my daughters are 4 and 5. I'm not telling you that. You would explain that to your... You tell your daughters what you thought it meant. I'm not saying that I would in a graphic way.
Wait, sir. Can I ask you something? This is Phil.
Yeah.
You got a 4 and 5 year old, 4 and 5 year old daughters.
Yes, I do.
Then why would you even begin to explain to them what you think that means?
Because someone's going to have to do that. This man has decided that he wants to expose my family to that. I didn't expose your family to anything. There's a billboard there, and you're going to explain this to your 4 and 5 year olds? I'm going to be discussing it with my wife. Why would you discuss it with your wife? Because we're in the car together. We're in the car. We're talking about it. And my daughters are naturally going to say, what are you talking about?
And if I tell them that it's adult stuff, then we've got an argument. And that's an argument I'm not going to win, because now I'm driving a car and I got three women who are in my ear and screaming their obscenities.
Wait, sir.
I got it, Phil. Let me grab it, Phil. Okay, I got it. All right, relax.
No, don't tell me you got it.
I got it. Are you trying to tell me that your daughters of ages 4 and 5 and your wife will gang up on you because you told your daughters it's none of their business? I don't know if you know anything about. The way things are these days, but women, even children, little girls, you can't just tell them it's none of your business. They're going to want to know why.
I got to ask a question. Why can't you tell a 4 and a 5-year-old? Why do you even have to tell? Just say it's none of your business. Daddy and mommy are talking. Don't even talk about it.
Well, you're telling me not to talk. I have to talk about it. Why? Because Mr. Bell here put the billboard out on the road. And I'm looking at, we want to put our meat in your mouth, and naturally I'm going to say to my wife and my daughters, did you see that? About putting this meat in your mouth, I got to explain it to you now.
You're going to talk about this to your 4 and 5-year-olds, even though they haven't asked.
What do you mean they haven't asked? I have to assume, let me ask something, sir, this is Ted Bell. Can they read? Can who? Can what? Who can read? Can your daughters read? No, they're too young. Well, then how do you know they know what that says? Because I'm going to tell them.
Why would you tell them if they can't read?
I don't appreciate you yelling, sir. I called your program. I was being direct, but I wasn't yelling. Why would, this is Ted Bell. Why would you tell these girls what it says if they can't read? Who's this? It's Ted Bell. Well, who's the other one?
This is Phil Hendry, sir. I'm sorry that I yelled. Why would you tell your 4 and 5-year-olds what it says?
Because they're going to ask me!
All right, pal, I got to hang up on you.
Oh, yeah, you'll hang up on me!
Wow, man. Wow.
Well, you know, it's your radio show, Phil. I did not, let the record show, I did not put that guy on the air. You did.
Well, that guy is just wound too tight. That's his problem. He ain't even in this world, you know. He's got bigger problems than whether his 4 and 5-year-olds can read billboards.
I agree.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil. Wow.
You talk about rap too tight.
Anyway, we'll be right back here. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Ted Bell's billboard, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Is it too adult, or is it just that we've got filthy minds and we're reading things into it? We'll be back. Phil Hendry
Truth
Show.
He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, is this Ron? Ronnie?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hendry. I'm awfully sorry that I lost my temper, but I think Mr. Bell was not being fair. Ronnie, I did not mean to gang up on you the way you said your wife and your daughter did, but if your kids can't read, and this is all I'm trying to figure out, if your kids can't read... If my kids can't read, Mr. Bell, which they cannot read, then I have to explain to them what's on the sign.
Why do you have to do that?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Phil Hendry, the host.
Okay, sir, the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm looking at Mr. Bell's sign, and it says, I want to put my meat in your mouth. No, it doesn't. It says, we. All right? And my duty to my wife and to my children is to say to them, that billboard is filth, and it says, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And am I not supposed to say to my wife and to my daughters, he most likely intends you?
Oh, my God.
Why would you do that, sir? I don't understand. Because you're the one that put me in that position, sir.
All right, I want to talk to a gentleman who actually had a comment for you, Ron. His name is David. David's on the line here. Go ahead, David. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell and Ron in San Antonio.
Hey, Phil. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ted. How you doing? Hey,
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Thank you. My comment to you, man, is you're supposed to be the man of the house there. Why are you so worried about three women or two little girls and your wife ganging up on you? I mean, why is that such a problem for you? You know, when you're supposed to be the man and explain.
How do you explain that then? Well, can you tell me how I'm supposed to explain that? How am I supposed to explain that?
Explain what? We want to put our meat in your
The
mouth.
Sign says, the billboard says we want to put our meat. The
Hello?
Billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I'm supposed to explain that to two little girls?
Well, first of all, 4 and 5, I think, is a little bit too young for them to even fathom what it might mean. But if they were,
That's
if
my
they
point.
Were to read it, if they were to read it, and they were to ask, you tell them just like what Ted said. It's a restaurant that serves steak, and they want you to experience by putting the meat in the mouth.
They know I'm going to be... They know I'll be lying. My wife is going to be there.
Why would a little 4-year-old know that you're...
They're 4 and 5 years old. They don't even know what lying is yet. How do they know you're going to be lying? Your wife is
because,
going
I'll
to
tell you,
you up.
If I may say, I'll tell you why. Because my wife is sitting there. My wife is a woman. She'll see that. The kids will see that she's reacting negatively.
What is it with... I want to ask you something, Ron. You and your wife don't seem to have a very good, what we would call in the world, poker face, you know, where you just kind of keep the face blank until you get home, and then you can talk about it like adults.
I don't know what you mean. Do you have children, Mr. Hendry?
I did. I mean, they're all grown up.
Well, did you ever see... And what did you say to them?
I explained to them the best way I could. I said, hey, kids, you know, this is... That's really kind of bad, or that's really, this is what's intended. The kids would ask. If they didn't ask, I would not bring it up.
Well, you must have had some stupid kids.
Oh, okay, sir. Well.
Well, you got, listen, you're attacking a man's kid's intelligence? Do you have kids? I have one, yes. And what do you say to them? I said I have one. And what do you say to them? Wow, this guy.
He's got one kid.
What do you say to them?
One kid, not them. All right, listen, thanks very much, Ronnie.
Well, you know, I know they don't have the guts.
And thank you very, very much, David, for your contribution to that falderall. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Here is, I believe this is David. Or no, this is John. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Oh, yes, sir. How you doing?
I think that guy's mentally disturbed.
Can I say something?
No, I just want
Hello?
To say that last
caller
was mentally disturbed.
Is this Ted Bell?
Hey, don't interrupt me.
It's just his
Hey,
name.
Ted.
I just was saying the last guy was mentally disturbed.
Okay.
You mentally disturbed.
Go ahead, John.
You mentally disturbed for coming over there. You actually pay for that advertisement.
Yeah, and you know what? It works. It brings them in by the droves.
It wouldn't work.
It brings them in by the
It wouldn't work for me. I would keep going if I hadn't seen that billboard. Think about this.
Why not?
You would have better customers. You'd have a better business. Just think how many people you're turning away.
I'm not. How many people do you think I'm turning away, sir? I do a very good business.
You turning away?
Are you? Why would you not? Why would you keep going?
You would do better because I don't want you putting your meat in your mouth. Come on, that's ignorant advertising.
You don't want to put your meat in your mouth.
You acting like a moron.
You sound like a jackass. I don't think you even know what a good steak is. You know what you think a good steak is? Sizzler.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you go back to Sizzler and have yourself a steak?
Uh-huh. It would be better than yours.
Okay, well, this was a pointless call. But anyway, thanks for calling, sir. You did not very well. 877-876-PHIL. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you do better screening on your phone calls?
What are you talking about? The guy wanted to talk to you.
Yeah. Sounded like uh-huh. Is that one of these characters that you do, or is that
877? No, it isn't. 877-876-PHIL. We'll move on here to David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Phil. I'm going to be very respectful, and I'm going to make it short because that remark to me, having grown up kids and who like to question you and try to understand stuff like that. That is just very sexual, straight up.
No, it is. No, it is. Only to people with a filthy mind.
No, sir.
No, sir.
Yes.
No, with what's going on in this world nowadays and in our society, I come from a background where stuff like that is just not said at all. I'm sorry if you don't find it that way, sir. I apologize.
Well, all I'm trying to say is the following thing. If you see that on a billboard and your kid asks you, what does that mean, what are you going to say?
No, I mean, a billboard like that would have description. Maybe it'll show you a steak or so. So that doesn't... But if it's just written,
This is your billboard, right, Ted?
Yeah, it's my billboard, and all it says is, Ted's of Beverly Hills, we want to put our meat in your mouth. And then there's a picture of a beautiful woman.
Oh, come on, man. That can only mean one thing.
What a... You got a real sewer for a mind. You know that? Both of you guys.
Both of us, huh?
Yeah. You and this David.
Yes, sir.
Really. Yeah. Are you Catholic? Go to confession. Clean your brain up. There's nothing wrong.
I am a church. I am a church going
you,
person.
You're a whole church?
Church.
Okay.
You ask anybody, take a vote on that, and they'll let you know.
Bullcrap.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they don't dare. Of course, we have our website, philhenryshow.com. That's where you can go and get live video of the show right now. If you're watching the show, then you know this. You're watching Phil TV in HD. And on occasion, of course, on Phil TV in HD, we are showing you clips of this, that, something else, things that might be in the news. During our news and information hour, we do that. But you can just watch us performing the show. You get a backstage pass. You can hear all of our archive material. And by the way, tonight at midnight, we announce the winner of our free BSP for the month of February, because at the stroke of midnight will be the first day of February, which is Black History Month and Phil History Month. So at midnight, we'll announce the winner of our free BSP. On the line with us here from Beverly Hills, California, is our very good friend Ted Bell, as we talk about the advertising slogan of his restaurant that's gotten a little bit of heat.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'll tell you something. As long as there is breath in my body, as long as there's breath in my soul, we've got dinner to serve you. We want to put our meat in your mouth. Go ahead.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
There it is. We want to put our meat in your mouth. That's what has caused the controversy. That's what's caused some of the people. And I mentioned the names of these individuals, which you sort of poo-pooed, Ted.
Leaders in the Southern California area, and I don't think that there's any secret to the fact that these people can, at the drop of a hat, marshal the forces of God knows how many phone callers.
We haven't been exactly, you know, I know how that game is played, so I don't get swayed by phone calls, believe me.
But when you get a letter from a religious leader, then, Phil, and I respect you, but I think you tend to get... I think you tend to get a little shy. I think you tend to get a little schoolmarmish.
I get schoolmarmish when?
When you get a letter from anybody that has a theologian, you know, attached to his name. And I think that what I said to the gentleman who called last hour, when that man was... and by the way, I want to say something right now. I'm sick to my stomach of NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and I want to make a comment about that at some point. Is that okay?
Yeah. Why?
Because I see there's sex and...
What?
Never mind. I'm disgusted by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration allowing sex. And I mean, you know what I'm talking about. To take place inside the cabins of these weightless aircraft. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do not know what you're saying.
All right. Well, I guess that makes me sound like I'm insane, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Let's get back to...
Well, all right, Phil, can I explain?
No, I want to get back to this. We'll talk about the rest of it.
All right, well, what I'm saying is,
"We want to put our meat in your mouth" is a slogan that we have had for many, many years, and because I've gotten pressure from people to take that slogan off of our billboard or to take that slogan off of our advertising, I will not do it, and I don't want to appear as if I'm not working with the public on this, but, you know, when a man's driving down the road, and that guy that I talked to there from San Antonio, really, and he screamed, you could tell he had mental issues. And
well, he was saying that he didn't want to have to talk about it in front of his daughters, but he'd have to because his wife would probably spill the beans. His whole thing, you know.
Well, his thing was that he had three, quote, women in the car. Well, he's got one woman and a 4- and a 5-year-old. And he said that he couldn't, you know, that he'd be ganged up on. I understand how it is. But I dare say that I would not. I think I'd have a hard time with a 4- and a 5-year-old.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. On the line we have Lori. Hi, Lori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hello,
ma'am.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Sorry about that.
This is Ted Bell.
I would like to say, first off, I would never censor you because we live in the United States, and I do believe that it's our great right to never have to be censored. But I do agree with a lot of people in thinking that it is inappropriate in the fact that you know what many people think, even though it's mostly dirty-minded people, but it's not even that.
Yes.
This world has brought us to this point where a lot of people immediately think that. And I think individuals that knowingly put that stuff out there, knowing the controversy that it's going to create, and knowingly continue to advertise that way, I just don't think it's a correct thing, and it's going to eventually bring this world to a very bad place, one step at a time.
Ma'am, this is Ted Bell. Are you saying that because I've got an advertising slogan that I paid top dollar for and that has been effective in driving business to my restaurant, you're saying that I still need to get rid of it because some people have a sewer for a mind?
I'm not saying that you need to get rid of it. I'm saying that it's sad that the world has come to this point where we're continuing to allow, not to allow, but that people just put that out there in the world for everyone to see. I'm sure you probably have a sexy woman on there, and then there's meat. A lot of people are
going to meat. All we have is, go ahead.
They're going to instantly think that. I mean, whether it's right or wrong, of course it's going to bring business to you because sex sells.
Right.
But,
well, can I tell you something? Because this is very interesting advertising. When I was a kid, and you sound like a very young lady, you may not know this, the name of this group, but when I was a kid, I was a very big fan of a group called Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And Black Sabbath had a member of their band, and his name was Geezer Butler, all right? Now, they were British, and so, but when I was a kid, the term geezer meant a guy that used heroin. And when I heard his name was Geezer Butler, I developed a heroin habit because I wanted to be like Black Sabbath.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And my father, Phil, my dear father, is the one that got me off of that and got me on this. My father was an alcoholic. So I learned that a weak mind, a mind that you and I, Lori, we would never want to be around a mind like that. A weak, sniveling mind will take anything.
If we want to protect other people, if we care about other people, we want to protect those weak minds. I mean, I know this
probably
people in my family.
Let me bring on this gentleman, Ron, who I think you got him on hold, Phil.
I didn't know we were going to put him back on the air.
I want to put him back. But, Ron, are you there? I'm right here, yeah. All right, would you explain to this lady? Ma'am, my name is Ron Beautreve, and I am a father. I live in San Antonio, Texas. I saw this billboard that said, "We want to put our meat in your mouth." I had my 4- and my 5-year-old daughters with me. I had my wife with me. I immediately pulled the car over because I was a little bit in shock and told my wife, "Did you see that?" And my wife and I began discussing it. And the next thing you know, I've got a 4-year-old in me standing up on the back seat in my ear saying, "Discuss, what are you talking about, Daddy?" And wouldn't shut up. And before I knew it, I had 3 women All of them wanted to know about a meat and putting it in your mouth and everything. This is what I'm trying to say to Mr.
As a father, you have to be the adult, and you have to stand up and be the man of your family and protect them from things like that. All you need to say is that it's inappropriate. Many people will take it as inappropriate. It's not necessarily inappropriate, but we need to guard our minds from things like that for those that put that out there for everyone.
Well, I was trying to. I was trying to do that. I was trying to do that, Lori.
How are you trying to do that, sir?
Well, I was doing hand signs to my wife. I didn't want the kids to see. So, for instance, when I saw the sign that says, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," I opened my mouth and I'm going, pointing to it. My daughters immediately...
At that point, you should have said, this is not a discussion for now. If we want to discuss this, we can discuss this at home. Because I know that's what my husband would have done. He would have not brought that up in front of children.
I did not bring it up. I didn't bring it up in front of... Yes, ma'am. I didn't bring it up in front of children because I was using hand signals. And so I was saying to my wife, I don't know how to do it on the radio, but I was...
In a car with young children is inappropriate.
Yes.
Completely.
If you're pointing to your mouth, sir, and going,
This is... Now I agree with Mr. Bell. Now I agree with Mr. Bell when he says people have nothing but septic tanks inside their skull.
I agree.
Well, but wait a second. Lori, you say you agree, but this guy has got a 4 to 5-year-old, and he's going, pointing to his mouth and doing all of this inappropriate stuff.
Yes, exactly,
I've been
Bill.
Listening to this guy. He is not necessarily the famous person in the world.
I see. Okay, I see. So, in other words, I'm the father, I've got the daughters, I've got the wife, but all of you people are going to judge me like I'm a monkey in a locked ward. Okay, thank you.
I do apologize, sir. We did not. I personally did not mean to judge you, but I do think it's inappropriate to talk about that. You may to your adult wife. You
I agree.
That,
I agree with
not
Lori.
To your adult children.
Yeah. I agree with Lori.
Well, Lori, and I agree with you, Lori, as well. But I'm saying it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with steak, and it doesn't have not when I have to go and point to my mouth and put my
Oh, sir, you're disgusting. Hang on. Lori, thank you very much for your call, too. I appreciate it very, very much. 877-876-PHIL, here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Yes, sir, we're going to a break.
You're saying that I'm disgusting because my wife wanted to know, and I said, you know how you talk? And I went, I was doing that.
He's a moron. Not only is he a moron, but I can see why maybe the kids are smarter than him. Probably the little girls who are 4 and 5 go, okay, Dad, we'll take it from here. What's the problem? Because you're a blithering idiot, and we know you're going to butcher it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show here, talking with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on why his slogan, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," is meeting so much resistance and so much protest from many of our listeners and other advertisers. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
United States of America is very important, and if I want to put an advertising slogan on my restaurant that I think is going to bring you into the restaurant, then we all feel we have those rights.
Ted Bell with us here. Thank you, Ted. And we have people calling, and, people are agreeing. People are disagreeing with the advertising slogan.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is, Phil, I appreciate people's opinion. I really do. But I don't, it doesn't really have much effect because I have a right, I have a constitutional right, to put onto my business a slogan, an advertising gimmick of some kind that I feel is going to draw business. It's my business.
Right, but you don't want to do anything overtly sick.
No, of course I wouldn't want to.
All right, your billboard says we want to put our meat in your mouth. You have a picture of a girl in a bathing suit.
She's a model.
And it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
Right.
Now, couldn't somebody confuse that for some strip joint or...
I beg your pardon?
Well, what I meant by that is...
Whoa. I beg your pardon. See, understand what you're saying, Phil. You're calling my restaurant a steakhouse that is patronized by some very serious industry people as well as families from across the city. And you're telling me that my billboard looks like I'm inviting people to Cheetahs or to Olympic Gardens or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, is there a steak?
Boy, I don't know what to say to you.
I'm just asking. How do people know it's a steakhouse?
Because it says Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. That's what it says.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. That was my only question, and I apologize. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We got Stacy on the line. Stacy, go ahead. You're on with Ted Bell.
Hey, Ted.
I'm sorry to raise my voice.
Yeah, that's no problem. I just can't believe you really. I don't know. I don't think you should let people get to you like this. It is your business. They're going to have lovers. You're going to have haters. And this has been going on forever. Society's allowed us to think this way, and there's nothing wrong with it. I was driving down the road. I couldn't believe what I heard when I heard your jingle. But at the same time, I was also thinking about other things at the same time. So Victoria's Secret can't have half-naked mannequins because that's going to sell sex, and we're going to have to explain that to the children who are 4 or 5 riding out in that car. Do I need to explain to my children why I'm going into that store and why I'm buying what that model's wearing? I don't think so.
Exactly. And you look at, I looked up some advertising slogans that could be interpreted in a less than family way. You may remember there was a time when M&M's had an advertisement. Do you know M&M's, the candy? You know the candy?
Yeah.
They used to say, melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Now, I can take that and turn that into something that is so depraved and base that, the devil himself would swing the gates of hell open for the manufacturers of M&M's. You can laugh if you want, but see, I'm the guy that's being persecuted.
Oh, no.
Hold on.
Yeah, and here's another one. Just another one. Where is it? Oh, yeah. Remember Colonel Sanders, the chicken place? They used to have a slogan called Finger Licking Good. Now, you could turn that into, I'd be afraid to just walk up to somebody and say Finger Licking Good because I'd probably take a knee to the genitals.
Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. Perception and interpretation are powerful tools, and it
exactly.
Uses us on a daily basis in unfair bias, and especially during political times. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I totally get what you were implying. If you want
so
to
you agree with...
Case,
yeah.
Totally get
yeah.
the case, the rainbow. It implies, the rainbow's always been a sign of gay patriotism, all that.
Of gay... Yeah, there you go. Gay patriotism.
So I'll say it. I'll say it on the radio, and you know what? He's right, but he's feeding. I do think, unfortunately, he gets to feed into it a little. But I'm also, I'm sorry.
How am I feeding into it? How am I feeding into it? I mean, I'm trying to defend my business,
Exactly.
And when the guy said, taste the rainbow, and I'm like, do we have to expose our kids to every gay issue?
That's a Skittles advertising slogan. You don't know that?
Okay, and mine is a steakhouse, but you want to turn it into a slogan for a bordello.
Yes, they're turning it into something it's not.
Exactly.
All right, let me get Ron back on the line. We have this father from San Antonio on the line. Ron, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, Ron, you heard the discussion, and we have on the line here Stacy. What do you say?
Well, I can tell you right now that I'm listening to you people, but I'm not believing it. I've got a 4 and a 5-year-old daughter. And no matter how hard I tried to cover up the meaning of we want to put our meat in your mouth, my daughters were immediately standing on the back seat looking at me like I was stupid.
I don't want to
you're
stupid at all, but the conversation, like the last lady said, I've got a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old boy, and there is something that society used to respect and allow, and that was less is more. And a conversation where it's appropriate and or where it's not, you did, you were secretly trying to get your wife to understand what you were seeing and
yes.
adjust.
Well, of course.
And see that,
yes,
and
ma'am.
See that you didn't agree and that you had a disgusted opinion of it.
Yes, ma'am.
And I totally get that. I totally can respect
right.
your side of that. But at the same time, you know, you can stop that conversation. You're the adult and you're in control. I've stopped
well,
many conversations like that that could have happened with me and my best friend as we see something that's sexual innuendos or something that's not.
I want to ask Ron. What did you do, Ron? Let me ask Ron. What did you do, Ron, that was trying to hide it?
The first thing that I did, Mr. Henry, is I pulled the car over because I was shaken. I couldn't believe I saw a sign that says we want to. Is the lady there?
I am, sorry.
Okay. What were you doing?
I was coughing and clearing my throat. I'm on my headset.
Well,
sorry.
It sounded like were you laughing at me?
No, I'm serious. I'm not.
You were laughing at me.
I will if you want me to, but I wasn't.
Take it easy, Ron, okay? Can we?
All right, well, I pulled the car over because I was shaken, and I said to my wife, I made a signal like I didn't want to talk about it, but I pointed to my mouth, I opened my mouth, and I don't know how to describe this, that you'll allow it on the radio, but I made a circular fingers and just went,
to say that on the radio. And
oh, my God, no, I didn't. Oh, my God, no, I did. No, I did not, ma'am. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, my God.
Phil Hendry.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills. Steakhouse, come on down.
This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we have Ron. Ron's with us, who does not agree with me using the slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth, but we've been using it for a long time now.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
There you go. I don't know, I can tell you right now, I don't think that it's right, and I've mentioned that to a couple of the people that I had called the station about.
You were in Los Angeles.
I was in Southern California with my wife and my daughters. We're visiting the grandparents, my wife's parents, and that's when we saw Mr. Bell's billboard. But where were you? We were on the 405 freeway. All right, well, you saw the one on the west side. That's right. And at that time when I saw that, I was a little stunned because I've never seen we want to put our meat in your mouth on a billboard. And I said to my wife, can you believe? And I realized the kids were in the back seat, so I began to use the hand gestures. And you put your finger and your thumb together as in a circle. That's correct. And I moved it back and forth.
Well, you know what? I don't expect that little children are going to understand what that means, but I don't know why you even needed to bring it up. That's my point.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Phil. When you've got when you have a stinking, backed up toilet for a mind, and excuse me, sir, I don't have a stinking, backed up toilet for a mind. I have a father of two children. I'm a father of a little boy. Well, I've got two daughters, and I think it's a lot different when you've got little daughters who look up at a billboard and they see what you've got up there.
Well, it's a lady in a bathing suit.
Yeah, with the slogan, we want to put our meat in your mouth. Again, I got to ask you the question, sir. Do your daughters read? Are they able to read? No, they're 4 and 5 years old.
Then how did they know what it said?
They didn't know what it said until I had to pull over to just get my bearings after seeing something like that. And that's when I said to my wife, did you see that? And she said, no, I didn't. And I saw my daughters were looking at me, and I went, and I did the thing with my mouth. I just pointed my mouth going, ah. And you gentlemen can laugh if you want. No, I'm not laughing, sir. I'm trying to understand what you did. In order for her to understand what I was talking about, I made a noise that she would understand.
What noise?
I don't, sir, want to tell you that. It's none of your business. Well, I mean, he's talking about a gag replay. Excuse me, that's none of your business, sir.
Come on, Ted. You know what, man? Why make it filthy when you say that it is filthy or it isn't? Why make it that way?
What? It's not filthy.
Then why make it like that? 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me get over to a phone call here as we are talking to you and to, God dang. Trying to, you know, oh, never mind. Anyway, let's get over to a phone caller we have here. Paul, go ahead, Paul. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I think the problem is that he used a young, sexy-looking model because Dave Thomas made millions with a 70-year-old lady with knee-high stockings on and her bridge hat saying, where's the beef? So if the lawmakers in that area attack you, just change it from we want to put our meat in your mouth to we want to put our beef in your mouth and see what they say. Do you guys know who...
Well, there's a big difference, sir, though. I understand your point, and I appreciate that. But there is a big difference between an old lady and a sexy model.
Well,
and, you know, we're not sitting here saying that... I really don't know what you're getting at. Well, I can tell you what he's getting at. He wants to have it be about... It's still going in the mouth. Of course it is.
It's still going in the mouth. And Dave Thomas made millions by getting you to put beef in your mouth. And what's the difference?
Dave Thomas didn't say put beef in your mouth. That's my slogan. Dave Thomas said, where's the beef?
Exactly. And what he's saying is in your mouth. What's the difference? This 70-year-old lady saying, where's the beef? Where's the beef?
I agree.
You can turn it into anything you want to turn it into. He's simply saying, where's the meat? It's at my restaurant. Come
right,
eat it.
Right.
That's
right.
All he's saying.
And so Paul is agreeing with you, Ted, but Ron, Paul disagrees with you.
Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go back to saying what I had said before, that I've got two girls in the car who...
You're not prepared to raise girls. You're not prepared to be a father. Because
I beg your pardon.
Because what you did, someone could turn around and turn call Child Protective Services on you.
Are you out of your mind?
Oh, yeah.
Are you out of your mind?
You said that you took a 4- and 5-year-old, opened your mouth, and did some gesture as if you were performing oral sex. And
no, sir, I did not. No, I did not. No, I did it to my wife. No, sir, I was talking to my wife. The girls were overhearing it.
Oh, but hold up. You don't think a 4- and 5-year-old are watching their dad and mother in a such engaged conversation? Listen. If a 70-year-old lady in knee-high stockings in her bridge hat can say, where's the beef, why can't he have a sexy young model say, I want to put my meat in your mouth? There's no difference. There's a baker, commercial baker named Mrs. Smith. You all guys know Mrs. Smith, right? She's in every frozen food section in America. Now,
you're talking about Sarah Lee or something like that?
Okay, Sarah Lee. If I go to Sarah Lee and say, Mrs. Lee, can I have some of your pie? You think she's gonna drop her drawers? Come on, guys.
Well, I appreciate what the gentleman's saying. This is Ted, Paul. What he's saying? No, hold on. I want to say something here, Paul. If you're telling me that an old lady wanting, you know, the beef, and a sexy young model wanting the meat. Boy, okay, knock yourself out.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
This guy thinks an old lady going for the beef is going to gun his engine. I'm talking about something serious.
Wait a second. What the gentleman was saying, there is a sexual innuendo no matter what.
Well, let me ask this guy here, Paul. Are you saying when the old lady, that Clara Peller, whoever that old lady was, and by the way, Dave Thomas, everybody loves to kiss his rear end. You know what? On my worst day, I do more business than that guy. But anyway...
Okay, let's not knock a guy that's not here, okay?
Oh, well.
Listen.
I didn't want to do that. Let me just say something. Let me just say. The old lady with the...
What if he took his commercial and put an old lady in it and said, we want to put our beef in your mouth? Would that be acceptable to you?
I don't know about you, Paul, but I've got a mother. I've got a grandmother. Oh, my God. And now you want my 4-year-old girl to look at a grandmother taking Ted's beef.
Okay, now that you want your mother and listen.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you. You know, this is the most asinine conversation.
All right, Mr. Henry, I've got a 4- and a 5-year-old.
Yeah, you've told me you've got a 4- and a 5-year-old. And instead of just ignoring it, Paul, I appreciate your call. I got to move on. Instead of just waiting till you got home, you know.
I'm not going to wait till I got home when I see something so glaringly wrong with the world. And that's Mr. Ted Bell with, I want to put my meat in your mouth. Sir, that is about a steak. I've been telling everyone that's about a steak. You can tell everyone it's about a steak when you got a billboard with a woman and she's dressed like she's dressed for the champagne room. Oh, get out of here. That's exactly what she's dressed for, the champagne room. And I've got a 4-year-old daughter who is leaning in and in my ear saying, what are you talking about? What are the two of you? Come on, tell what, like that. What do you want me to do, backhand her? Hey, let me tell you what. If I had a 4-year-old daughter who was butting into my adult conversation, I wouldn't backhand her, but I would, let me put it to you this way. I'd get out a handy wipe and start wiping off the back of one hand just, you know, so she'd get the message. Whatever. You know, sir, you could say whatever. You think you're the father of the year with your two little girls. I've got a 13-year-old son that I've had to explain some things to. And let me tell you, even though it's a model in a bathing suit, and even though, yes, with a 13-year-old boy, it's probably something that you might clap him on the back and say, someday, son, all of that is yours, okay? Go ahead, laugh. Still, you want him to treat that woman with respect, even after he's, well, I guess I'm getting in a little deep, but I was going to say even after he shows her a billfold, but I
come on.
You guys think that this is disrespecting a woman is funny. I have two daughters. Yeah, we get it already about your daughters. God, you and your daughters, pal. You think there's something wrong with me having daughters? Frankly, yes. Say that again. Frankly, yes. Why? Well, to be honest with you, I don't know whether you are competent to have daughters. You heard what the one lady said. Well, I will say this. I wouldn't disrespect you and say you're not competent to have a son, but you're probably not competent enough to have a wife that you don't even know what to do with her. Well, now you've gotten on the fighting side of me. Yeah? That's right.
Okay, gentlemen, enough. Enough, enough. 877-876-PHIL. Now you've got on the fighting side of me. Where are we going here, man? Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell and Ron. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. Ted,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Going to Miami in 3 weeks. I hope to visit your restaurant, and I want to put your meat in my mouth. Send your
you
ad agency an extra 10%, will you? They did an excellent job. Ron, I'm glad Paul said it before I did. If I saw you pulled over on the side of the road, making those gestures, doing that in front of those kids, I would have called the police.
Why? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell the police? That the man was doing hand gestures?
Absolutely.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you.
You pointed something out. Those children had no idea what was going on. You brought it to their attention.
And when the cops laugh and hang up on you, what are you going to do there?
If a teacher had done that, you would have saw that teacher charged. You should not be doing that. You should not have.
No, maybe in your burg. Maybe up in your burg. But I'm a father, and I've got two daughters. And when this guy puts a billboard up, see, you are defending a guy that wants to plunge the toilet of his mind and scoop it up and throw it up on a billboard. That's what you want to do. And I'm saying he doesn't get to do that. No, sir, not on my watch. So when I see that billboard and I
First
pull
Amendment,
over and I tell...
tough one.
Oh, yeah, First Amendment. In other words, let's have a strip joint 2 feet from a school. That's First Amendment, too, right?
That doesn't pertain to, Ron.
Well, I think you need to know your law, sir. You want to put a Playboy magazine right there, a Playboy magazine rack right next to a little kid?
All right, let's not talk about that, because we're not talking about that, Ron. We're talking about a man that's got a steakhouse. And by the way, you know, you can travel any freeway in Southern California or anywhere. I don't know where Dan's from. Any major metropolitan area. And you will see billboards for gentlemen's clubs.
You bet.
For strip clubs.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're not tasteless. They're tasteful. They have a phone number, and they've got beautiful women. But there's nothing that I would say that is obscene.
Well, do they say we want to go ahead and put our meat in your mouth?
It's a steakhouse, man. A steakhouse.
Thank you. But, Ron, what you want to do is, I respect you for being a father, but you want to make a simple situation worse. So you pulled over, and instead of just saying, hey, I'll talk about it, honey, when we get home, good thing the kids didn't see it, you pull over, and you're going, I didn't say, But what did you do? I said to my wife, I said, the billboard that we just saw over there, and then I went, I made a gagging sound. Okay, you guys can laugh about that. And
you made a gagging sound?
Yes.
Boy, I'll tell you, man, this guy, Dan, is right.
I think so.
Why would you have
He's right
that
about what?
A 4- and 5-year-old girl.
A cop sees...
Because I wanted my wife to understand. Are you guys listening to me, or is this
you
just
have
your
to explain
way
this
of
to your wife as well? You have to explain this to your wife. Your wife is not adult enough that she figured it out on her own, or had she didn't,
she didn't see the billboard.
Have the same impression of the billboard that you did then.
She
right?
didn't see it, sir. She didn't see it.
Then
I
why did you even
point
it out? Why did you bring it
yeah.
up? It seems like
I knew the kids
like should have been left alone.
Do you have daughters? If you live with three women, as I do, you know that sooner or later they're going to be. They won't leave you alone until you lock yourself in a closet. Hey, Daddy, what's
so
the billboard?
Why would you
hey,
bring up the billboard? Couldn't you have brought up another subject?
I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone. Because I knew sooner or later they wouldn't leave me alone about it.
The billboard and showing, animating, miming oral
right.
was what? The right type of entertainment?
Why even bring it up? Why not wait? If you say the kids are going to bring it up, why not wait until they bring it up?
Oh, yeah, sure. Right when I'm in the middle of watching... Oh, forget it.
Oh, right in the middle of your TV viewing, your daughters are going to come in and say, hey, Daddy, can we talk to you?
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Well,
all right.
You know what? All three of you guys, you, Mr. Henry, this man, Dan, and you, Mr. Bell, you know something? I'm very, very happy that I'm going to be here enjoying a cup of lemonade when the three of you are probably meeting the devil at the gates of hell and getting your seating assignments.
That was
I'll
beautiful.
Be in good company. I will be in very
good company. Thanks for your call, Dan. 877. Oh, boy, we cut off Ted there. 877. I'll be having a cup of lemonade, and the three of you will be getting your seating assignments in hell. 877-876-PHIL, world famous. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You're
the
so
Phil Henry Show.
You really are.
Oh, relax, will you?
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Everything that they were doing.
All right, hold on, Ron, hold on. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're on with a gentleman by the... Ron, I don't even know your last name.
My last name, Phil, is Ron Burlingame, but we live in San Antonio. We were in California. I remember asking the man what his confusion was. He said, well, you know, how do you know there's no Ted of Beverly Hills in San Antonio? I wouldn't have one in San Antonio, sir. If you're an example of the citizenry there... Well, thank you very much for that insult. And sir, you have taken my advertising for an honest business, and you've turned it into something profane and foul. You've turned it into, I think what you, didn't you say that I need to take a toilet plunger to my head? I said you needed to take a toilet plunger, yes, figuratively speaking, yes. That you need to take a toilet plunger to your head to suck some of the toilet mess out of it and slap it on a billboard. Yeah. Tony, you think, are you paying me a compliment? No, I'm not at all. Then why would I want you or any of your kind to come into my restaurant? Believe me when I tell you, mister, I wouldn't come into your restaurant, okay? That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. And
well, all right, look, you guys are going round and round here, but the fact is you are upset with the advertising. You would not go into that restaurant. But I think what you've done here, Ron, is you've taken it a step further here. You are talking about how you communicated it to your daughter. You're talking about how you communicated it to your wife.
That's right. I communicated it the best way that I knew how. What I said was to Cassie and to Eleanor, I said, I didn't say anything to them, but I knew they were in the back seat. I looked at their mother, all right, and I said to my wife, look, we just passed the billboard. And
what is your wife's name?
I'd rather not say what my wife's name is, if you don't mind.
Well, you've given us your daughter's names.
No. Well, you just broke the anonymity of your daughter. What's your wife's name? And why would you? Well, boy, you're really anxious to know that, huh? You want to get her up on a billboard?
Oh, come on, grow up.
No, I just want to know what her name is. Her name's Cindy. Okay. God. Well, I mean, you're old, wanting to know everyone's name. I don't want to get, sir, I'm a family man, and I'm a businessman, and I would never want to disrespect any man's family. You, on the other hand, with all due respect, you sound like a blithering idiot. Okay, thank you. I'm not offending you or anything, am I? With every word out of your mouth.
All right, hold on. So, you were making a point here, Ron, about what?
About what I said to Mr. Bell, I said if you're going to take a toilet plunger to your head in a figurative way, that's what you'd have to do. That's what I'd have to do what? To get a slogan out of your skull like we want to put it in the mouth. We want to put it in the mouth? The meat is what I'm saying. All right. And you would have to take a toilet plunger to your skull to get the material needed.
All right, we understand that Mr. Bell has a sewer system up there between his ears.
No, I didn't say sewers. I said a toilet. Big difference. All right, there's a big difference. And I think the point is made that I have garbage between my ears. More than garbage. So now, when I see a billboard that says we want to put our meat in your mouth, and I know that's from the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant, I'm going to go the other way. Good. I hope you do. And you don't care. No, I do not care, sir. I don't want you in my restaurant. And I'll tell you one other thing, too. Now, just hearing your comments, I wouldn't want you. I wouldn't want your kids in my restaurant. I don't want your entire family because I don't know what you've done to the minds of those children who now think that, you know, and you're in a gag reflex. I had to let my wife know what was on the billboard, so I went like that. And she knows what that means. She better.
Phil
does it every night.
Why, you dirty.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere, even places most talk shows wouldn't dare to. In fact, no talk show would dare to go. We go there. Now, one place that I'm sure other talk shows would dare to go if they could, but they, frankly, I don't think they have the apparatus. And if you'll pardon the expression apparatus after talking about Ted Bell's award-winning meat, we do want to give away this hour, and we've been talking about it all month long. We're going to finally announce the winner of the backstage pass for the month of February. And I had the name, and now I got to go back into the account here, bud. Why didn't you have that for me?
Well, you said you thought it was the name of a philosopher.
Philosopher? I thought it was. No, it's the real guy's name. I believe his name is Cervantes, right? And he's a Twitter man. Here it is. The winner of, yeah, here it is, the contest winner of our free backstage pass for the month of February is Isaac Cervantes.
Why did I give it to a Mexican?
Why don't you shut up with that, okay?
What if you gave it to a black guy?
You wouldn't know giving it a black guy.
Yeah, he would. His name is like Bill Jefferson.
All right, easy. God, man. What a rotten thing to say, Robert.
What? Yeah, the first guy giving away a prize, you go, hey, you're going to be making it. And go, you got to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, give it a rest, man. I'm going, all I said was, how come you give it a Mexican? Get out of here, man. We're not picking the names for that. It's a random drawing, you knucklehead. All right, so anyway, Isaac Cervantes, congratulations. You are the winner of a free backstage pass for the month of February. And this is the first day of February. It's Black History Month. It's also Phil History Month, so we're going to intertwine the two. Not that I'm trying to ride to glory on the backs of thousands, if not millions, of African Americans who've come and done a profoundly wonderful job before me, but yes, I think I will. Take it easy, okay? Well, no, it's just a little marketing gimmick. Okay, welcome to the final hour of our program here. And last evening, we were not on the air because we have, the next couple of weeks, I've got a couple of other things that are going on in terms of the television world. But for those of you, and I've already mentioned it to my backstage pass holders, and I did kind of let it out on Twitter, but we're going to be appearing on an episode, if not two, of New Girl on Fox.
Hey!
Thank you. So, man, that I consider myself one lucky sucker. Modern Family and New Girl, two big hit shows, and I've landed gigs on both of them.
Yeah, now you can get on Red Eye.
Yeah, if I could get back on Red Eye, now I'm doing good, man. Also, the Super Bowl will be featuring a Matthew Broderick Ferris Bueller ad for Honda. Has great, obviously, there's a great, what's the word? Buzz value or hot topic value, because so many people who came of age in the 80s saw this movie. Expectations were high for Matthew Broderick's surprise reprisal of Ferris Bueller after a 10-second teaser for what turned out to be a Honda ad was released last week. Maybe a little too high. This is from the I think it's a Washington Post Entertainment celebrity column written by Susie Jackball. I don't know who the hell this is.
It's Sarah Ann Hughes.
Yeah. Let me get Susie Jackball out of there.
I don't know. Sarah Ann Hughes, Susie Jackball, I'm sorry. So she said, maybe a little too high. Broderick isn't actually playing Bueller in the 2.5-minute commercial for the Honda CR-V, which was released online today and will air during the Super Bowl. He's simply behaving like the hockey-playing pro, or by the hooky-playing pro, by faking an illness and taking off a day from shooting a movie. Sadly, that means there's no appearance by any other Ferris Bueller alums, such as Alan Ruck or Mia Sara. And the advertising for the car, while clearly necessary, is just clunky. Well, we don't have audio, but we were playing a little bit of the video for folks a moment ago, and we'll do it again. if people are so interested, you can. If you're watching us here online on Phil TV and HD, all right.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Anyway, this is quite a, and you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, we are going to have to deal with this, whether you like it or not, and that is the new ads. Now, why do I say deal with this? I have gotten, because I work in the media like anybody in radio does, and I have to pay attention to the media probably a lot closer than you guys, and I like that. There's a shot there of Matthew Broderick wearing a towel on his head. He almost looked like someone's girlfriend.
Boy, that's dirty pool.
Anyway, the thing that bugs me more than anything else, man, is I'm having to get excited about ads for the Super Bowl that are no longer interesting to me. And I've noticed this the last year or so. I noticed maybe the last 2 years that, and look at, man, I believe me when I tell you, I know how hard it is to hit it out of the park, to try to be funny, to try to do something different, to try to this, that, and something else. But I really believe that advertising has reached the saturation point, man.
Like what?
I just think the TV ads have reached the saturation point of enough with the jokes. Everything is a laugh now. I mean, when are they going to sell a product and stop with the jokes?
Well, I mean, they're funny.
No, they're not funny. That's what the point. I'm trying to tell you.
You just went boo-boo-boo.
Never mind.
Oh, come on, man. We just make it.
No, never mind. Forget it.
Yeah, but you did. You went boo-boo-boo.
I didn't go boo-boo-boo.
Come on.
I'm just saying, man. Every ad, every TV commercial has got to be jokes. It ain't working anymore. I'm telling you, it's not. I am now telling you that the funny TV commercial has, forget about jumping the shark, it's hit a brick wall, and it is in flames, and somebody's been thrown through the windshield. The ad agency, I think. So, get back to selling stuff. You know, and this coming Sunday, every single solitary ad, every single solitary ad come this Sunday on the Super Bowl will have some, will be doing some kind of shtick. You know?
Well, all the Super Bowl ads have been doing shtick.
No, not necessarily. Let me give you an example. They rolled out, everybody talks about the Apple ad that rolled out in 84 in the Super, I remember when that ad hit the air. I remember that everybody said, watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. It's going to be the new Apple TV commercial. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be splendiferous. It's going to be just all this and a bag of freaking pork rinds. And I watched it, and while it was whatever it was, some people thought it was brilliant. Some people thought, I don't really know what it means. It was, the woman, running into that 1984 hall, which was, long live Big Brother, and she throws that Olympic hammer. Because that was an Olympic year, 84. It was the year that L.A. would host the games. And it was also the year 1984, which, of course, was the Orwell year, the George Orwell year that predicted a sort of police state. And George Orwell never really meant 1984 would be the year.
Well, what do you mean?
He just needed a year, So he reversed. He wrote the book in 1948, so he reversed it to 1984. And he said, here is a theory of the future. This is my idea. If we keep going the way we're going, if we kowtow to certain forces in the world, this is how things will wind up. And he gave it that year. Now, the interesting thing about George Orwell's vision is, of course, that not only did it not come true, but we couldn't be further away from anything like that if we tried.
Are you kidding me, man? There are a lot of people I talk to online saying we're real close to being on a police state.
Anybody that says that we're close to a police state like that, anybody, I don't care who they are, anyone that says we're close to a police state needs a psychiatrist. And I'll say it a third time, needs a psychiatrist.
You kidding me? What? How can you say that?
This country's never been further away from a police state. What we are close to, you want to know what we really are close to? We're close to anarchy. That's what we're close to. We are so paranoid of a, my God, there isn't a group in this country that doesn't talk about, the stripping away of constitutional rights. We got more people yakking about the losses of freedom than, my God, than we would ever be able to lose in our worst nightmare, in our worst hallucinations, to quote Dirty Harry. All right. So that Super Bowl Sunday came the Apple ad. 1984, swinging a thing through there. Well, guess what it didn't have?
What?
It wasn't humor. It was a serious ad. It was a comment on society. It was a comment on the times. It was a commentary on technology. It was an interesting ad. And it certainly was, without question, identifiable with the Apple Corporation, with the company. So you knew, this is Apple, this is something big. But nowhere in that commercial were they trying to be funny. So my hat's off to that ad and any other Super Bowl ad that anybody can remember that wasn't trying to do shtick. Because I'm telling you, man, everybody is a comedian now, whether they're funny or not. Everybody is doing jokes now, whether they're funny or not. Everybody's doing shtick now, whether they're funny or not.
Yeah, what about you?
I'm funny.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, thank you. I'm funny, so I can do funny. Some people are not funny, they can't do funny. Do you understand, bud? What about me? I gotta kick your...
Just kidding.
All right, we'll take a break now here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lots and lots of weird-ass stuff to get into. I don't even know if I want to mention... There's a story of a school teacher here in California. This guy... they arrested him. He's a 61-year-old elementary school teacher. Can you fathom a teacher feeding students semen? Yes. Yes.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not doing comedy. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth, man. Is our bitch. The Phil That's Hendry a Show.
It's a bitch.
listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is going to make you sick. This is going to make you angry. This is everything that you would not want to be. I'm about to attempt to make you, okay? And I'm sorry.
Why would you want to do it?
Because it needs to be said. Because it's...
Man, I saw this story. I want to beat some... I'll kick this guy's ass. I'd beat this guy's face in till his face was ugly, and then I'd beat it in some more until he's good-looking again.
That's how much you beat it in?
Yeah.
You'd beat his face in till he was ugly, and then beat it some more until he was good-looking again.
Right.
All right. Well, okay. I mean, it sounds reasonable. In South Los Angeles, authorities have arrested a 61-year-old elementary school teacher for allegedly gagging and blindfolding students, putting cockroaches on their faces, and feeding them semen. Mark Berndt, B-E-R-N-D-T, a former third-grade teacher at Merrill Monte Elementary School, was arrested at his home in Torrance on Monday after a year-long investigation. Berndt is set to be arraigned Wednesday on 23 felony counts of lewd acts on a child. His bail was set at $2.5 million. Berndt faces life in prison if convicted on all charges. He's set to appear in court on Wednesday morning for an arraignment. Police say the crimes occurred between 2008 and 2010 at various locations, including the school and his home. Can we all agree on something now? Can we all agree that no kid goes to no teacher's home? Okay? Can we?
No, I'm sure they say that.
Well, I mean, if you're a parent, just tell your kids, don't you never go to anybody's house without asking or telling me first. Do you understand? Well, it's Mr. Berndt's house. I don't care whose house. You don't go. Well, the school said it was okay. School better tell us. Anyway, the alleged crimes involve boys and girls between 6 and 10. Berndt allegedly told the children they would be playing a game. The investigation began in October 2010 when Berndt turned in a roll of 35-millimeter film to be processed at a CVS in Redondo Beach. Employees at the store found more than 40 photographs of kids in a school classroom with their eyes blindfolded and their mouths covered with tape. They notified police as required by California law. Did you know that, Mr. Berndt? If they allow you a radio in your cell, do any of you knuckleheads that turn in rolls of film to any kind of a film place to have them processed or otherwise developed, do you understand that people look at that film? You have no reasonable expectation of privacy. That's not covered under the Constitution of the United States of America. Turning film into the place to get it developed, no reasonable expectation of privacy. This is why, for instance, back in the day, before we had video cameras and I can't believe I'm this old, but I guess I am. Back when it was just film cameras, and maybe you wanted to take a picture of your girlfriend nude. Well, guess what? You didn't, because you knew it would go to the place, and the guy, he wouldn't give it back to you.
You kidding me? That's unconstitutional right there.
They wouldn't give it back. That's what I heard. I never tried it, you know. Nor that I take any pictures of, you know, my girlfriend nude.
You take any pictures of yourself nude?
Yeah, that's right, Robert. I took full-length pictures of myself nude. Get out of here. No, man. I mean, I heard that no girl that you went out with is going to let you take a picture of her nude. I don't even remember those days as being anything that was even close to that kind of thing ever happening. But the fact is, the word was you can't give them any kind of picture, any kind of film that has any nudity, because they're going to take it and they're going to show it to you and go, ha, 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 look what we found on your roll of film.
Really?
That's what you were afraid of? You're afraid you're going to walk in and go, hi, my name is Mr. Henry. Oh, you're Mr. Henry. Look at the filth, huh? Hey, filth, you know. So you didn't even want to go near that. Hey, look, there's Tina Fey, Robert.
Whatever.
She's in a hair thing commercial. I don't know.
See, they're trying to make her look like she's Cindy Crosby or whatever her name was.
Cindy Crosby?
You're talking about, what's her name?
Who's the other one? Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford? Cindy Crosby is like 81. I shouldn't say that. No, she's...
I think she's still a very lovely young lady.
Yeah, get out of here. All right, so some of the photos depicted Burnt with his arm around the children or with his hand over their mouths. Sheriff's Lieutenant Carlos Marquez of the Special Victims Bureau said it was determined the children were given... It was determined the children were given semen on a spoon or on a cookie. A blue plastic spoon and container found in trash in Burnt's classroom tested positive for semen, and that the DNA matched Burnt. None of the photos showed the students actually eating the... But Marquez said the children reportedly didn't like the taste. There were also photos of children with large, live, Madagascar-type cockroaches on their faces and mouths. What is the illness here? Can we get a psychiatrist to weigh in? Guys that, you know, humiliate and torture children, but not, like, with pliers or anything. It's this kind of thing.
I don't know, man. I think that someone had done that to him when he was a kid.
Well, there's no question this guy's been warped since youth, but... And that's the bad thing about all this, man. See, this is the sickest part of it all, man. You take any child that has been sexually abused or has otherwise been humiliated or abused by an adult, and while we feel sorry for that child today, and we would do anything in our power to try to right the wrongs that have been done to that child, someday that child will be an adult, and if that child was not dealt with properly, then guess what? All of a sudden, we turn on that person and we say, "Why, you piece of garbage, I'm going to throw you down into the bottom of this dungeon, and you will never get out again." So that very same person that we had, this is the cycle they talk about, you see.
Yeah, but they ought to be able to rehab it, or how do they say it?
Rehabilitate.
Rehabilitate what? How? I mean, let me ask you a question. You know, where? Where? How? When? What are you talking about?
But a kid, when a kid's been abused.
Oh, really? When a kid's been abused, what happens?
Don't they put the kid like in a doctor or something?
Oh, sure, sure, Robert. Yeah, sure. They got a million and one psychiatrists that are just waiting, ready, willing, and able to fix a kid that's been brutalized and abused and screwed up by an adult so bad that it's very likely that kid will turn into a sexual offender his or herself once they get old enough. Yeah, we got all kinds of doctors for that. And it's free, too. Did you know? Sure, some school districts... Some municipalities, some states, but not all. Some of them, the kid's just on his own. And if the parents can't afford it, and if the kid is already in a home where he's being abused or maltreated, I mean, buddy, good luck. So don't give me this stuff about how we care about kids. We better get our heads out of our asses with this stuff. I want a full and complete report within the next 5 minutes. Here. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. God.
I can't eat.
Phil Henry.
Good. Do you good.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Wasn't that the most vile thing you've ever heard in your life? Well, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Now, let's talk about some delicious pies that we're cooking. I'm joking.
Man, I can't even... Well, wait, I could think about a pie.
Get up to the microphone, will you, Robert?
I'm trying to fix something right now.
Yeah, I have a pie, too. A cream one.
What are you guys doing?
Trying to fix the printer.
That takes one guy to do, okay? What are you, both you guys... Jeez, bud. I mean, what's with you guys?
What?
You're all down under the table here, like you're all...
Oh, yeah, right.
Get out of there. One guy fixed the printer. I need two guys down there with your rear end sticking out.
What, are you all interested in it?
Why, you dirty...
You're all interested in it.
Shut up. All right. That was vile. All right, the big news tonight... Well, the big news tonight, first of all, we gave away a free BSP for the month of February. which is Phil History Month and Black History Month, to Isaac Cervantes, one of our fine Twitterers. Thanks a lot, Isaac. You were the winner in our very Marvy drawing. And, man, we had a lot of people to draw from because we not only had the people that liked us on our fan page, we had the people that hashtagged us, hashtag Phil Hendry at Phil Hendry Show. So we're going to be giving away another BSP for the month of March. And you can certainly begin, you can keep on hashtagging, man, and keep on liking our fan page at Phil Hendry, at facebook.com/ Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS. That's over at Facebook, PHANS. And we'll be doing another drawing at the end of February for a BSP in the month of March. The news, of course, tonight from Florida, big news that Mitt Romney defeated Newt Gingrich in the Florida GOP primary. And I can tell you, it was a powerful night for the governor because he made himself, he basically made himself the man to beat. And what he did was, in his speech, he talked about Barack Obama. He did not talk at all about, hold on, turn off the, turn off all that rock and roll garbage, boys, because you know I hate that stuff. He did not talk about, his Republican rivals. He did not talk about, any of that nonsense. He talked about the president. He talked about President Barack Obama and what it's going to take to beat him. He made himself the national. He made himself the national nominee for the Republican Party. And to that extent, I think it's going to be really hard for Newt Gingrich to climb up that mountain.
There are fewer candidates tonight than when the race began, but three gentlemen are serious and able competitors, and they're still in the race. And I want to congratulate them on another hard-fought contest in this campaign.
But you're saying they're still
primary
in a race.
Contests are not easy.
Hold on for a minute. What?
Yeah, they're still in the race.
He's being classy, man.
Yeah, he's just trying to be nice.
He's being classy. He kicked Gingrich's ass tonight. I don't know what the numbers are. We'll get the numbers for you here in a second.
And they're not supposed to be. As this primary unfolds, our opponents in the other party have been watching, and they like to comfort themselves with the thought that a competitive campaign will leave us divided and weak. But I've got news for them. A competitive primary does not divide us, it prepares us, and we will win.
So, you know, basically what he was saying there, like, you don't know, but I mean, listen, he's saying, I'm the man, you know.
Yeah, what about Newt Gingrich?
What an idiot. Who?
Newt Gingrich. I mean, the other guy.
Newt Gingrich? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Newt Gingrich.
What about him?
Look at Bud. I just got done saying to you, Gingrich's ass got handed to him tonight in Florida. It's over. It's over. Now, I know that there are, you know, there's going to be some op-ed pieces tomorrow that basically say, oh, no, it isn't. Gingrich can get a little more traction. He'll get a little of this and get a little. The Republican Party doesn't want that. The Republican Party wants to rally around a good, strong, solid candidate. They want to be ready. They want to have their guns blazing, baby, by the time they get into the month of August, which is when the convention will be, you know, and they want to get in there and they want to, you know, get ready to do battle with Barack Obama and the Democrats. And the longer that Gingrich drags this thing out, the more the tougher it's going to be. Now, he took a beating in Florida, and his national numbers are sagging. And if you'll pardon the use of the term sag. So. Thank you.
Michael Jordan, sag.
Yes,
and
did.
When we gather back here in Tampa 7 months from now for our convention.
Yeah! I'm kidding. I don't really care.
Ours will be a united party with a winning ticket for America.
Bullcrap!
Who's going to be the vice president?
Years ago, this week, a newly elected President Obama faced the American people, and he said, look, if I can't turn this economy around in 3 years, I'll be looking at a one-term proposition, and we're here to collect.
See, this is all about Obama.
And you know the results. I mean, it's been 35 months of unemployment above 8%. And under this president, more Americans have lost their jobs and more home foreclosures have occurred than under the administration of any other president in history. And in the last 10 days, I met with a father who was terrified that this would be the last night his family would be able to sleep in the only home his son has known.
Under the beautiful palm trees.
I've met seniors who thought these would be the best years of their life.
And they are.
And now they're worried day to day about how to make ends meet. I met Hispanic entrepreneurs who thought they'd achieve the American dream, and now they're seeing it disappear.
And now they're in Mexico. And why? Immigration.
The president actually said these words. He said,
"It's got nothing to do with it.
Let's remember now how we got here. Don't worry, Mr. President. We remember exactly how we got here. You won the election."
Uh-oh. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's racist, man.
That ain't racist. You idiot.
Leadership. Leadership is about taking responsibility, not making excuses. In another era of American crisis, Thomas Paine is reported to have said, "Lead, follow, or get out of the way." Well, Mr. President, you were elected to lead. You chose to follow. And now it's time for you to get out of the way.
All right, so there you go. Mitt Romney tonight, or last night, technically, in Tampa, and that's where the Republican National Convention will be. Bud Dickman, your thoughts.
Well, is he going to be the president, or...
No, he's not going to be the... What, are you kidding?
That's the Republican, you idiot.
Or no, I know that, but is he going to be the president one, and then he's got to have a vice president one?
You mean a vice president? Yes.
Okay, who do you think it's going to be?
I think it'll be Huckabee.
See, you're copying me. I said that.
No, you... What? I said Huckabee a long time ago.
No, you didn't. I said Huckabee.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Huckabee. There, do you feel good? Both you guys feel like geniuses now?
Who do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be Huckabee. Are you kidding? Huckabee? What's that about? What is that, an oldie but goodie? Huckabee? Who even thinks about Huckabee anymore? Who even cares about Huckabee anymore? He may go for a Southerner. A lot of people are saying this kid Rubio. Is that the guy? Isn't he a senator or something?
Who's that?
This kid down in Florida, this Rubio. He's a young Republican congressperson, I think. A lot of people are saying him. He's a Southern guy. Well, if you call the... Florida is the South. If you get out of Miami, you know, there's an old saying in Florida, the further south you go, the further north you get, meaning if you head into Miami, and the further north you go in Florida, the further south.
I don't understand.
I didn't think you would.
Neither do I.
Well, I don't care whether you guys understand or not. The point is, Rubio maybe won. What about that Bobby Jindal guy?
That the guy from India?
Yeah, that's that Indian guy.
He ain't from India, man. He's from Louisiana.
Oh, well, why'd they say he's from India?
That, I think his parents are from there.
Yeah, man, his family's from there.
I don't know. We never not had an Indian, well, I'm not saying an Indian... I'm not being prejudiced.
What difference does it make, bud? You know, we've never had an Indian what? You mean a guy of Indian descent be a vice president?
I think it's kind of weird, don't you?
No, I don't think it's weird. All right, look. I don't know who his vice presidential nominee will be. I'm sure that they will vet that beautifully. I can only tell you this. He may do what McCain did in 08. McCain went after a real hardcore conservative. He went after, and of course, he got a woman, so that the Republican ticket looked inclusive the way the Democratic ticket looked inclusive. He had a black man and a white man, and with the Republicans, you had a white man and a white female. So... that's kind of the way Republicans are inclusive, you know, I guess. But I'm not casting aspersions at all. But fact is, the Republicans did want to have a ticket that looked inclusive, and they wanted to make sure that they were definitely conservative, that ticket really had a nice, strong conservative vein to it. Now, here's the thing. If anybody remembers our show back in 08, you will remember that I said that when McCain had put Palin on the ticket, he was waving the white flag of surrender, which he was. She's the reason, among many, that he got defeated. And this is what nobody gets out of 2008. Palin sunk that ticket. People, I know she's popular, and I know people like her, and I know she's got her constituency, but she is not, was not, and never will be a candidate for the masses. Unless, of course, at some point America makes a hard shift to the right and that becomes the mainstream. But it won't be happening anytime soon. And that was a fatal mistake by the Republicans. They wanted to make sure that they were, you know, that they were paying homage to their conservative constituent. Well, guess what? It got you beat. So how do you feel about that? You feeling good, huh? Feeling good and strong about that? You got that conservative? Because that's what got you beat. Don't give me the stuff about McCain.
Everybody says McCain's too old.
McCain didn't do it. Palin did it. She's the one that killed him. Now, I don't think, and I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. Romney, when he picks a vice presidential candidate, he is not going to pick a real Tea Partier, man. He's not going to go far to the right. He's not going to go and try to make people in the Tea Party side of things happy. He's not going to go and try to make kissy face and makeup and just go to all of them cats. I think he's going to choose somebody a lot more moderate. I could be wrong, but I'm staking my reputation as a talk show host, which is not much.
Yes, you're not really staking much on it.
Exactly. So I don't really have to, you know, I don't care if I lose, because then people will say, oh, you're not a very good talk show host. And I'll say, thank you. I take that as a compliment. All right, we'll be right back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number here is 877-876-PHIL, of course. We're in our news and information hour, however. But we do want you to keep that number in mind should you need to get in touch with us, if we need to move our car, if for whatever reason you need a ride home from school, if for whatever reason you need us to pick up something at the grocery store on the way home, why, that number is there for you. If you need, for instance, if you need to contact the police, call 911.
Yeah, that'd be the only exception.
That would be the only exception. Call 911, please, for emergencies, the police, and fire and stuff like that. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We invite you to join us over at philhenryshow.com. After the show, we will have a show log up for you so you can see what it is that you either just heard and forgot, just heard and wished you'd never heard, did not hear, just heard and laughed yourself to the point where you soaked your underwear and had to go clean yourself up and missed the rest of the show, or just heard and really didn't hear because of the meds that you're on. So any one of those options will be, of course, served by our show log. And then, of course, with the backstage pass, you can listen to the podcast tomorrow of the show, which is without the commercials, without the interruptions that way. Or you can also watch our video archive. You can also go into our archives that go back some 14, 15 years on our website and listen to whole three-hour shows. Why? Because they're all fantastic. Why? Because we don't have to just put three-minute clips on there. Why? Because we're bitching.
Why?
I don't know.
Because we were born that way.
Because we were born that way, exactly. Now, getting back into our news here, ladies and gentlemen. What was your question, bud?
Yeah, why is Elton John, why do they call Elton John Sir?
Because he got knighted.
They knighted him, man.
What's that mean, knighted?
You get knighted. You know what a knight is, don't you?
Yeah, but that's a guy, like, with an armor and everything.
No, man, that ain't the same thing. They knight guys now. You don't have to have no armor or nothing. They're not a guy now, like how?
Well, they knight a guy if he does stuff that's cool for England. You know, in other words, if he's a great... A knight is like a guy who is a super defender of England, or the defender of the crown. That's what the knight is.
A defender of the crown? What are you talking about? That is all about if they're in a democracy.
They are in a democracy. They are in a democracy. But the British people... You know, but just because you're in a democracy doesn't mean you hate kings and queens. In England, they have a king and a queen, or they have a queen right now, and they have kings sometimes. And
when are you going to get a king?
They may have a king with King Charles, or probably one of the princes. I don't know, but I can't speculate as to when. Queen Elizabeth, she looks like she's in pretty good health. You know, there's some pretty good genes in that family. How old was the queen mum before she...
I don't know. I think she's like 110 or something, 120.
What, 120? Would she eat that yogurt out of Georgia?
The yogurt out of... Get out of here. Anyway, They love the king. They love the queen in England. They think she's great. They want their queen, and they honor her, and she's got to do what they tell her to do, you know?
You got to tell a queen what to do.
That's what they do in England, man. They tell her what to do. They don't tell her what to do, but they basically, she knows the score. She is serving at the pleasure of the British people, and they like having their queen, and that's where that's at. And so then they knight people. It's all very symbolic, man. You know.
Yeah, you probably think, well, they're going to get on a horse and ride around with a sword or some stuff.
That's what they used to do.
They're going to do that now, man.
Well, I'm going to see Elton John doing that.
Yeah, right.
You're going to see Elton John on a horse? With a sword? No. So that's what they do. See? Why were you asking?
Because they had a thing on TV where they showed her with a Sir Elton John, everybody.
Oh, that was that Black Sabbath concert. Yeah, that's the Queen's very much a... She loves Black Sabbath.
You kidding?
No. Queen Elizabeth is... How do I say this? She was into Satanism.
Shut up.
All right. News. Why the X Factor bloodbath is good news and hopefully just a starting point. Do you know about this? Well, they fired everybody at X Factor. That is, Simon Cowell fired everybody at X Factor because X Factor didn't have the numbers that they wanted it to have. Simon Cowell wanted to have about 20 million people tuning in a week, and he didn't have anywhere near that, but they still think it was healthy, so whatever. Sometime in recent days and weeks, Simon Cowell realized the X Factor wasn't shaping up to be the singing competition to end all singing competitions. The money was there, as with the support from Fox, but with little more than 12 million viewers tuning in to see who would win a $5 million windfall, it became clear something hadn't clicked with America. How about this? How about we're sick and tired of freaking singing competitions, man. I mean, first of all, the title of the show is a chipmunk blows-a-meter, man. What does that mean, the X Factor?
I don't know.
Doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's supposed to mean you got the X Factor.
Yeah, well, whatever, man. It's so, what is that? That is not the kind of title to a show that at least an American audience is going to embrace. Man, we want to know who the champion is. We want the champion, baby. American Idol. Boom. That basically says Super Bowl, championship, you know, World Series. That's what, I mean, you could seriously make a case that American Idol, if it's done nothing else, has got itself right up there with Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup, and NBA championship as one of the big, big things, okay? X Factor, that don't mean diddly-do.
I think it do.
Well, I don't think it did. Get out of here. Think it do. Shape up the X Factor. Steve Jones and Nicole Scherzinger are out on their ass. Anyway, and so on Monday, we learned that he'd cleaned house, gone our stiff host Steve Jones, and the simpering, whimpering judges Nicole Scherzinger and Paula Abdul. Reports that Kyle was looking for more star power next season quickly followed. Mariah Carey's name has already been bandied about as a kind of A-list celebrity that he wants. Hey, how about Howard Stern?
How about Lubba the Bub Sponge?
Who's Lubba the Bub Sponge, man?
Well, what an idiot, man.
I mean Bubba the Love Sponge.
Lubba the Bub Sponge, man. Wait till he hears that. What do you mean Bubba the Love Sponge?
Put him on an X Factor.
All right. Let's get Bubba on the X Factor. That would rock the world. Now, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced, of course, by Dan Northcraft and myself, the world-famous Phil Henry. And, of course, our website is philhenryshow.com. We would like you to join us at our website after the show here for our show log and, of course, a backstage pass. Congratulations to Isaac Cervantes, who is the winner of our BSP for Phil History Month, the month of February. So until tonight, guys, and I do mean tonight, we'll see you, all of us here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Have a very pleasant tomorrow.
Phil Henry.
Or today. Today, I meant today.
Yes, today still.